It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. You can go online and learn about protests in Africa and the Middle East, the so-called Jasmine Revolution. Videos, news, blogs, tweets, you can see it all, because you don't live in China. The Chinese government censors the internet, including news about citizens rising up against authoritarian regimes. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter have been blocked for years in China. Last Friday, LinkedIn was down for a time after a discussion on political protest appeared. Specific words have been blocked too, like Egypt or Jasmine. Brett Solomon is from the digital freedom advocacy group AccessNow.org. He says China doesn't stop there.
They also influence the conversation as well, so paying of bloggers so that the conversation actually gets shifted in the direction that the government wishes.
And how are those decisions made about what gets blocked and for how long?
Well, I think it's difficult to get into the mind of a regime. You know, there's not that much transparency and accountability as to how decisions are made. But I do think that the decisions often relate to political externalities. So, for instance, you know, we saw with the Uyghur people in East Turkestan, where the government basically pretty much hermetically cut off from the outside world for many months the phone and internet connections. And that happened because there was a political insurrection, essentially, that happened on the ground. There's actually around 90,000 mass incidents of public unrest each year in China. And so often there will be blocks that are attached to those particular incidents.
China is a big country, so this censorship isn't done by one guy sitting in an office. But Rebecca McKinnon of the New America Foundation says all this upheaval hasn't been disruptive to the government there, because they've got a system.
The top level of censorship is what we like to call in the West the Great Firewall of China. And that's what tends to block overseas websites. That's the filtering mechanism that makes it so that you cannot access Facebook or YouTube when you're inside China. And that's pretty easy to get around if you know how. There are various kinds of software and other tools that are known as circumvention technology, and there are tools you can download for free. But researchers have found that actually only a very tiny percentage of Chinese internet users seem to actually avail themselves of these tools, and it's probably in the single-digit percentage, if even that. But then there's this other layer of censorship, which I call inside the Great Firewall, and that's much harder to get around because what's happening is that material is just being deleted from the internet entirely. And that's what's happening on all the services that are run from inside China. And so in order to get around that kind of censorship, you need to, you know, change the spellings of your words. You know, I mean, in Chinese isn't phonetic, but you can sort of use deliberate kind of homonyms and things like that, and or words that kind of sound similar. People resort to using photos or pictographs or writing backwards or something to try and get around the keyword blocking. But that really dilutes the ability to spread information around because people have to know what you mean. And so censorship in China, it isn't really about controlling everybody all the time. The idea is that while there's always going to be some people who are going to access information or are going to find ways to get information out, those people will be far enough on the margins that it can't go viral, it can't turn into a mass movement. So that's what they're really aiming at.
Rebecca McKinnon from the New America Foundation. Producer Larissa Anderson is here with a story you may have missed.
There's a lot of buzz online about this app called Pocket Hipster.
The idea is actually pretty cool.
So here's how it works. You fire it up and you get to choose hipster girl or hipster guy. So let's just say we're choosing hipster guy. So what you see is a cartoon of this hipster with glasses and bow tie and bicycle. And like any good hipster, he just makes fun of all the music on your phone. But then he's going to help you out. He suggests new music by hip artists you might like based on your old square music.
Now, I like to discover new music, so I downloaded this, and I can launch it just fine, but then it crashes every time. I don't know if that's a bug or if it's supposed to do that.
Like it's so hipster that it just doesn't feel like working that day?
Yeah, maybe the app was out all night going to shows. It just went out to go shop for old t-shirts and drink some Pabst Blue Ribbon. He had to go catch the next train out to Brooklyn. He had to go get himself fitted for a brand new fedora. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.